This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. Nick Caserio joined us earlier on the program. Seth asked him about Davis Mills in year two. Where's he seen improvement from Davis Mills?
Honestly, one of the biggest things is just physically where his, I would say, his body is, his strength. He's worked on his lower body strength. Nobody wants to hear and talk about like how much a player squats or what he's done in a weight room, but I would say he's certainly worked on his lower body strength, which I would say for most positions, just about every position, including quarterback, it's about having a good base. It's about having good lower body strength because everything starts from the ground up. So I'd say in that area, number one, he's certainly made progress. Number two, I would say his understanding offensively of what we're doing, the terminology, there's been some things that we've tweaked relative to how we call plays, whether it's formations, whether it's route concepts, whatever it might be. So I think he's comfortable with that. And then I would say overall, for the most part this spring, the decision-making has been good relative to taking care of the football. When I say when you look at a quarterback, the things that are – there's a lot of things that are important. But I would say two of the most important things are decision-making and accuracy. So when you look at that position, do you take care of the football? Do you make the right decision? Do you go where the play tells you the ball should go? So I would say for the most part, the majority of the plays that we've run during the course of the spring, that's been the case. You know, are there some instances where you could have made some better throws or maybe missed a throw there? So I'd say for the most part, those couple areas are just articulated. I would say he's certainly ahead. And I think the one thing that's been consistent relative to his personality, his demeanor, is regardless of what happens on the play, good or bad, it's just kind of on to the next play. Really doesn't let that ruffle him, which I would say is, you know, good quality as a player, because this, look, there's 70 plays that happen during the course of the game. So you're going to run a play, and then you're going to go to the next play. So what happened two or three plays ago, honestly, it doesn't really matter. What matters is can you focus on what your job is, what you have to get accomplished on that particular play, regardless of the situation. So that's all players. It's all positions. And I would say the quarterback position is probably just as important, just because you handle the ball. There's a decision that's got to be made every play. You can't necessarily worry about what happened. If it went well, great. All right. You know, you might not get the same look. So I'd say there's a lot of things that go into that. But overall, I would say from where he was, call it a year ago, to where he is now, he's certainly a lot further along. So I think the preseason and the training camp will be another opportunity for not only him but the whole team to see if we can kind of build on some of the things that we've done here over the last, you know, however many weeks it's been.
You know, I was thinking of two quarterbacks as Nick was discussing Davis Mills and his progression through minicamps. And One of them, I'm guessing you could guess, is Tom Brady. Just because I, you know, as Nick Caserio watched Tom Brady in the 2 decades that he was with him in New England, it's impossible not to think of Tom Brady. But then the one you're probably not expecting is Case Keenum. Because I think that if you think about what Nick was talking about there, like understanding how to be decisive, where to go with the ball, all those things, obviously Tom Brady was really good at that. But he also, Tom Brady was a guy that, after that first run of Super Bowls and on into the 2011s, 12s or so around then, people were starting to wonder within the Patriots if maybe the Patriots were going to start moving on. And that's when Tom Brady like really committed himself to getting his body right and changing his whole offseason regimen. I think that's where Davis Mills, like improving his lower body strength and all that stuff, really comes into play. Like you can improve your arm strength, you can improve your throwing motion, all that stuff with just increasing your lower body strength. But as far as like the efficient side of things, being an efficient NFL quarterback, getting rid of the ball quickly and knowing where to go with it this time of year doesn't seem like it should be a big deal. And yet, like with Deshaun Watson in his first couple of years, with other various quarterbacks when they're younger or older, it used to drive me insane to go out to OTAs or training camp and see a guy holding onto the ball in a non-padded practice.
Right.
Like waiting for somebody to eventually come open. Because, yeah, they always do. But it doesn't show that you're actually advancing or getting better as a quarterback. And Deshaun got better at that by, you know, the last year that he participated in training camp for the Texans. And I think that that's the one thing I keep asking Clint and other people about when they're out there is like, okay, does it look like he's getting rid of the ball quickly? Does it look it's efficient? And I haven't heard nearly as much complaining about that type of stuff as we have at various other times. So I think that's good, because the other side of it too is the reason I brought up Case Keenum was Case was a guy that, you know, had a reputation as being more athletic than he actually was, because he was good at buying time in college, at scrambling around a little bit. He had to learn in the NFL that he wasn't athletic enough to do a lot of that stuff.
He's not Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. So it for Case, you know, and that's what it really, it's a huge credit to Case Keenum that he just stuck around and stuck around and stuck around, because he had a lot of bad habits to unlearn. And that was one of them, was like his belief that he could extend plays that he really couldn't, and that he also didn't really have the arm strength to make the crazy throw, you know, to a guy when things broke down. So I think Davis Mills is ahead of the curve in a lot of respects there. It probably helps that, yes, he runs a fast 40, but he's not a guy who's ever been looked at as a scrambler or somebody that is, you know, makes his living off of the improv. He's going to have to be more of an old school quarterback, I think, and make his brain, make his decisiveness, make his accuracy, hopefully, be his best strengths. He's not going to be the improvisational genius.
I thought your second quarterback you were going to say, because I was going to guess.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, you said, I thought the second one was going to be David Carr.
I
thought it was going to be David Carr, because
he would hold on to it forever.
Well,
yeah,
because he was a rookie that you were around. You were here when he was a rookie, and I thought you were going to bring him up and maybe compare him. Well, like, what were the things you saw in David Carr from year one to year two? Because I think there was still some optimism. I think really up until like year three, there was still a lot of optimism kind of swirling around David Carr here, and then it never materialized.
Yeah, it was really up until year four. I mean, we were winning more games each successive year.
That's right.
And then 2005, in the fourth year of the franchise, when everything fell apart. I think David Carr holding on to the ball too long, that's going to be something to watch with Joe Burrow this year. Like, Joe Burrow took a lot of sacks.
He did. It wasn't all the offensive line. Like the offensive line, I mean, I know they went and got new guys, and everybody feels like, well, now the Bengals have addressed their biggest need, and now they're on to multiple Super Bowls. You know, when he got sacked 9 times in that one game that they actually won, I think it was against Tennessee, they actually won the game. He got sacked 9 times. Man, I remember watching that game going, all right, I mean, the offensive line's not good, but they weren't 9 sacks bad in that game.
No, that's one thing they found as they've started paying close attention to this stuff, is that quarterbacks themselves have a lot more to do, you know, year over year with how many times they get sacked than the offensive line. Like Peyton Manning never actually had all that good an offensive line in front of him. He turned a lot of guys into Pro Bowlers by never taking sacks, and the offensive line probably got more credit than they deserved, which is fine. They don't get a lot of credit in life. But it was more Peyton Manning was really good at getting rid of the ball. So that's I think Burrow will get better at that, but that's, you got to worry about it, because that's what happened with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck he took more sacks than he had to.
Yep.
And eventually he was beaten down and battered.
It beats you up. Yeah, absolutely. There's a physical toll to it. Nick Caserio, we asked him about when players don't come to the voluntary stuff, is there a conversation that takes place, specifically Laremy Tunsil? We mentioned Laremy in the question. Is there a conversation that takes place where you try to explain why it would be good to have him there, or is this just the business of the NFL?
The rules are set up a certain way. The league, the players, and the PA, they have an agreement in place. I think the most important thing on all this is just to make sure that you have communication and there's dialogue along the way. That's the most important thing. And I think Lovey's been consistent about that from the beginning. He's, you know, he's spends time with all of our players, talks to all of our players. And in the end, it's a voluntary program. So, you know, every player has to make a decision that feels in their best interest. So, you know, that's just part of the NFL. It's part of what we deal with. So, you know, I know Lovey was asked about it the other day, made some comment. I certainly echo the sentiments that, Lovey shared, you know, with y'all or, you know, with whoever he talked to the other day. So anytime you have your players in the building, I think it's always a good opportunity for, you know, us to grow and as a team and continue to improve. And every player's got to make the decision they feel is, you know, best for them. And, you know, we're happy that Laramie's here. We're glad he was here. Get a couple days of work in. And, you know, everybody's looking forward to training camp and, you know, what's in front of us there. So, again, we'll do business as business is being done. And I would just say from our perspective, from the Texans' perspective, this is never adversarial. It's never confrontational. So you try to maintain, you try to handle it like adults. And I think that's one thing about Lovey. Like, treat them as men, handle adults, have communication. Everybody, if an individual has their opinion, we respect their opinion. And our job is to just keep moving forward and just try to do what we think is best on a day-to-day basis. And we'll continue to do that.
I think the communication part is big there too and key. If Laramie Tunsil came in out of shape and haggard looking, then you got an issue.
Yeah.
Ideally, in a perfect world, you've got all your veterans there setting a good example and doing all of that. There is a part to it too where though, to take the player's side of it, man, I know it seems like it's not a big deal and I know it seems like, hey, you're out there in no pads and what's it matter? It is a lot of extra wear and tear, and it does. It feels silly saying it because I guess you wouldn't understand until you've been through seasons and everything, and your knees have been banged up, and you feel like what that does to your like all that extra jostling and practicing in helmets and no shoulder pads kind of sucks in some ways because you end up getting face masks to your clavicle and everything. The guys are still competing, still going hard. The difference with Laramie Tunsil, as you pointed out yesterday, was that he didn't really play that much last season. That's what's frustrating about it. If he had played 17 games and had knee surgery at the end of the season or something, then you get it. It's just that that's the part that made people uneasy about it.
Well, it's not just that he didn't play. It'd be one thing if he suffered a knee injury in week 5 and he was out for the rest of the year, then so be it. He suffered a thumb injury in week 5, and I think the perception is he could have played at some point. He could have gotten back onto the field. So it's not, I mean, missing the rest of the season is not optimal, obviously, but it's the fact that he could have come back. I think two things, Seth. I think that you just brought up, that Laramie was at the end of the year, you know, it was just weird with Laramie Tunsil. It was just weird. It was like he had an excused absence and we felt like he was healthy enough to play. That's number one. Number two, the team's just not very good right now. If Laramie Tunsil had played nearly a full season last year and this team won the division, then you don't really care as much about a guy taking the voluntary stuff and just saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work out on my own, especially to your point when they come back in great shape like Laramie did. But this is a team that's at the grassroots point of a rebuild that with a player that is your most highly paid player, probably your best player. It's either him or Brandon Cooks, and he's not there. So it's just I'm not overly concerned about it, but it's not shocking that it should have some sort of here's the other thing. It's not shocking that it should have some sort of spotlight on it because there is nothing left with this team to shine a spotlight on. Like this is just this is now just a young, conventional rebuild that's going on where you're hoping some good young players. Deshaun Watson sucked up the spotlight for everybody else last year. You could have had guys committing bank robberies last year. The lead story would have been Deshaun walked out of practice in a hoodie yesterday and yelled Deshaun, at the media. Yeah.
Deshaun asked the media why they're taking pictures of him.
But
I'll tell you what, the opposite of Laramie Tunsil showing up at least in shape after missing voluntary workouts is what's going on in New York with Mekhi Becton.
I've not seen this.
Mekhi
he's a Becton. Tank already. Like he's a house.
He's had some weight issues. He had a knee injury last year, but people have wondered, you know, exactly what's going on with him. If I'm a Jets fan, this pisses me off. So Mekhi Becton is largely, I think a lot of people are wondering if he's headed towards bust territory.
Former first rounder, right? He was a first rounder.
He had a promising rookie year, but then he was banged up, injured, and now skipped voluntary workouts this year as a third year player. Doesn't look to be in incredible shape. Still isn't practicing. Didn't go to voluntary workouts. Apparently he's having his first kid in the offseason, but like he's probably got enough money to have his family up with him up there in New York.
Yeah.
This is what bothered me. When a guy who's the perception of is that he's kind of eaten himself into trouble comes out and says he's going to make his critics eat their words. That's what he said. I'm going to make them eat their words. He showed up wearing a blue T-shirt that read Big Bust with a list of negatives around the words Big Bust. Fat, lazy, out of shape, bum, sucks, overweight. A lot of the words I've been called my whole life, so I put it on a shirt. And he said he's got a chip on his shoulder, which presumably he's eaten already, as long as the words. He probably was like, I'm gonna make you guys eat your words unless I eat them first,
right,
which
right.
He did. Is there anything more annoying than like the guy who's clearly done the damage to himself, like saying, like calling out his critics and saying, I'm going to make you eat your words. I'm going to show a level of commitment, the lack of which has been the very problem this entire time.
The answer to your question, is there anything more annoying than that? The answer is yes. His name is Tony La Russa, but that is second place. Absolutely. Yeah. And okay, so does it say in that article, did he show up in shape or did he show up fat? That would be funny if he actually showed up fat.
Robert Sala, the coach, who's usually effusive about players who are in great shape, this is a reading from ESPN.com, was noticeably lukewarm on Becton. He wasn't critical, but he didn't go out of his way to compliment him. He said he has 40 days to continue to work and get himself ready to play football. That sounds more like Nick Caserio than it does Robert Sala. You know, Robert Sala is the guy that, hey, this is the right kind of guy. He's hungry. He wants it. So we're going to be great.
Yeah. So Sala gave a Caserio answer, huh?
Yeah.
He's got 40 days. Okay. Well, then Mekhi Becton's an idiot. If he's not showing up, and he's showing up potentially out of shape, or at least not in good enough shape to get praise from a coach who throws praise around like they're M&Ms on Halloween.
This is the best quote from Sala. This sounds more like Sala. Like, I could see him genuinely saying this. His weight will fluctuate incredibly over the course of, like, 3 days. It's fascinating. He's so...
Yeah. Mine does, too. Amy does not describe it as fascinating.
I'm not criticizing him for having weight issues. A lot of guys do, and a lot of guys really struggle with it. It's him blaming other people for his weight issues.
Yeah.
That makes you nervous if you're the guys with their chip on their shoulder that shouldn't have a chip on their shoulder are the ones that make me nervous.
Yes.
Because they're so far away from recognizing the actual problem that it's and usually a pile of money doesn't help.
No. 11th overall pick a couple of years ago. All right, let's give away these soccer tickets. If you are listening right now and you want to call 713-572-4610, pair of tickets to Manchester City versus Club America. It's July 20th at NRG Stadium. English Premier League champ Manchester City, Liga MX powerhouse Club America. It's going to be a fun 2022 Copa de Lone Star. And if hopefully you've been listening all week to win these tickets, if you haven't won yet, call now, 713-572-4610. If you don't win the tickets and you want to be part of the action, either with tickets or premium hospitality, start at just $35 for tickets to the game. Ticketmaster or CopaDeLoneStar.com. Caller number 5 is going to be the winner of those tickets. All right, up next, the summer of Sean got to check off a box yesterday. We will go through the box that got checked next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.